brought to you by Penguin.
A Christmas Miracle for the Railway Girls by Maisie Thomas. Read by Julia Franklin. Chapter 1. June 1942. With their tools over their shoulders, Mabel and the other members of her gang of length men walked from the station to their allocated length of the line. Finding their starting place, they dumped their knapsacks and got going. Bernice wasn't the sort to allow slacking. The first job was to hoe out the weeds from the railway tracks. Then they set to in pairs, getting on with the real task of the length man, which was to level the railway bed on which the permanent way was laid. While one of each pair used a crowbar or a pickaxe to raise a sleeper, the other had to shovel the ballast back underneath. In due course, the same length of track would need exactly the same work to be done again, because the ballast shifted every time a train travelled along the line. It wasn't long before Betty took off the old jacket she wore for work and dropped it on top of her knapsack.
"Lots of folk ain't working outdoors in the winter because of the cold. Me, I don't mind, because this job keeps us warm. It's the summer when I'm not so keen."
"I don't care how hot it gets," said Mabel. "I shan't be stripping off. I'm not going to fall for that one again."
"You were unlucky, that's all," said Bernice.
"Unlucky with bells on," Mabel answered.
"Ah, but you met your Harry as a result," said Betty.
Mabel couldn't suppress a smile.
"That's true."
She'd had a tough time 2 years ago, in her first summer on the permanent way. Working in a sleeveless blouse, she'd ended up with badly sunburned arms, which had blistered. She hadn't thought anything of it when some of the blisters burst. But after that, she'd become unwell and eventually collapsed, waking up to find herself in hospital, where she was told that soot and dirt had got into her bloodstream via the open blisters, and she'd gone down with blood poisoning. It had been a truly ghastly experience, but, and it was a very big but, as Betty had pointed out, it was when she was laid up in hospital that she had caught Harry Knatchbull's eye. Harry, her very own cheeky blighter.
"How long have you two been seeing one another now?" asked Louise. "It must be coming up for 2 years."
"It's about time you made it official."
Bernice stopped working for a moment to wipe the back of her hand across her forehead.
"Look at our Joan, married a whole year as of the beginning of this month, and with a gorgeous new baby. He's a month old now, bless him."
That made Betty laugh.
"Everything comes back to Max, doesn't it, Bee? I swear that if I said, 'Pass the salt,' you'd find a reason to say what a good baby he is."
Mabel laughed too, and why not? Max Hubble is the most adorable baby ever, as any of his honorary aunties will tell you.
The four of them worked on, stopping mid-morning to take off their thick gloves and sit beside the tracks for a drink from their flasks. Later, when Bernice announced it was time for dinner, they walked to the nearest length men's hut. This was constructed from railway sleepers standing up like planks of wood. Inside, more sleepers had been stacked to create makeshift benches. But there was no need to take shelter indoors today, not like they had to in winter. The real reason for coming here was to have a hot drink, freshly prepared. Betty shook the old iron kettle to ensure it contained sufficient water before she placed it on the brazier. Once the tea was made, they sat outside, producing their balm cakes and sandwiches. There was fish paste in Mabel's balm cake, and she wouldn't have been surprised if the others had paste as well. There wasn't that much choice these days. A picture sprang into her mind of Mumsy's pre-war picnics, with dainty finger sandwiches, delicious meat pies, salads, and summer fruit.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?